Excerpts from Hyperbole and a Half, Unfortunate Situations, Flawed Coping Mechanisms, Mayhem, and Other Things That Happened by Ali Brosh. Depression, Part 1. Some people have a legitimate reason to feel depressed, but not me. I just woke up one day feeling arbitrarily sad and helpless. No. It's disappointing to feel sad for no reason. Sadness can be almost pleasantly indulgent when you have a way to justify it. You can listen to sad music and imagine yourself as the protagonist in a dramatic movie. You can gaze out the window while you're crying and think, "This is so sad. I can't even believe how sad this whole situation is. I bet even a reenactment of my sadness could bring an entire theater audience to tears." But my sadness didn't have a purpose. Listening to sad music and imagining that my life was a movie just made me feel kind of weird because I couldn't really get behind the idea of a movie where the character is sad for no reason. "I don't really know why this is happening. Essentially, I was being robbed of my right to feel self-pity, which is the only redeeming part of sadness. And for a little bit, that was good enough reason to pity myself. Standing around feeling sorry for myself was momentarily exhilarating, but I grew tired of it quickly. "That will do," I thought. "I've had my fun. Let's move on to something else now." But the sadness didn't go away. I tried to force myself to not be sad. "Stop it. Stop being sad. Right now. Stop. Get up." But trying to use willpower to overcome the apathetic sort of sadness that accompanies depression is like a person with no arms trying to punch themselves until their hands grow back. A fundamental component of the plan is missing, and it isn't going to work. "You don't stop being sad right now. I'm going to turn on the garbage disposal and listen to the sound it makes until you cooperate." When I couldn't will myself to not be sad, I became frustrated and angry. In a final desperate attempt to regain power over myself, I turned to shame as a sort of motivational tool. "Hey, what are you doing? Are you crying? Why are you crying? Did you know that some people have pets that are dead? And some people have diseases and tumors? The worst thing that has happened to you in the last 3 days is tearing the spout on your chocolate milk." But since I was depressed, this tactic was less inspirational and more just a way to oppress myself with hatred. "Maybe I'll go outside today. Nope, I hate myself too much." Which made me more sad. Which then made me more frustrated and abusive. "What are you doing back there? I hate you!" And that made me even more sad, and so on and so forth, until the only way to adequately cross my sadness was to crawl very slowly across the floor. "Where are you trying to go, sad legs? There's nothing over there." "Do you even know what you're doing?" That was my attempt at a slug noise. So she kind of looks like a slug in the drawings. Okay, sorry. Or she's trying to look like a slug in the drawings. Okay, I don't know. Okay. The self-loathing and shame had ceased to be even slightly productive, but it was too late to go back at that point, so I just kept going. I followed myself around like a bully, narrating my thoughts and actions with a constant stream of abuse. Looks like somebody likes pasta. How original. When you were a child, is this what you dreamt of becoming? A sad person holding a fork. Well, good job, fork grabber. You did it. Try not to cry on your pasta. Hey, is that a chair? Shut up, I hate you. Why do you need to go outside? Is it more fun to make that stupid face out there? You want to play a game? The game is called Stand in a Corner and Look Stupid. Ready? You win! Are you going into the kitchen? Cool, go fuck yourself. I spent months shut in my house, surfing the internet on top of a pile of my own dirty laundry, which I sat on the couch for just a second because I experienced a sudden moment of apathy on my way to the washer and couldn't continue. And then 2 weeks later, I still hadn't completed that journey. But who cares? It wasn't like I had been showering regularly, and sitting on a pile of clothes isn't necessarily uncomfortable. But even if it was, I just couldn't feel anything through the self-hatred anyway, so it didn't matter. Just like everything else. Slowly, my feelings began to shrivel up. The few that managed to survive the constant beatings staggered around like wounded baby deer, just biding their time until they could die and join all the other carcasses strewn across the wasteland of my soul. I couldn't even muster the enthusiasm to hate myself anymore. Hey there, typey hands. Just typing some words in the dark by yourself? That's neat. You should. What if? Fuck it, do what you want. I just drifted around, completely unsure of what I was feeling or whether I could actually feel anything at all. I feel like a computer. My life was a movie. The turning point of my depression would have been inspirational and meaningful. It would have involved wisdom-filled epiphanies about discovering my true self, and I would conquer my demons and go on to live out the rest of my life in happiness. Instead, my turning point mostly hinged upon the fact that I had rented some movies and then I didn't return them for too long. The late fees had already reached the point where the injustice of paying any more than I already owed outweighed my apathy. I considered just keeping the movies and never going to the video store again, but then I remembered that I still wanted to rewatch Jumanji. I put on some clothes, put the movies in my backpack, and biked to the video store. It was the slowest, most resentful bike ride ever. And when I arrived, I found out that they didn't even have Jumanji in. Just as I was debating whether I should settle on a movie that wasn't Jumanji or go home and stare in abject silence, I noticed a woman looking at me weirdly from a couple rows over. She was probably looking at me that way because I looked really, really depressed and I was dressed like an Eskimo vagrant. Normally, I would have felt an instant crushing sense of self-consciousness, but instead, I felt nothing. I've always wanted to not give a fuck. While crying helplessly into my pillow for no good reason, I would often fantasize that maybe someday I could be one of those stoic badasses whose emotions are mostly comprised of rock music and not being afraid of things. And finally, after a lifetime of having feelings and anxiety and more feelings, I didn't have any feelings left. I'd spent my last feeling being disappointed that I couldn't rent Jumanji. I felt invincible. Judge me all you want, stupid face. I don't have feelings anymore. And thus began a tiny rebellion. I can do anything. Maybe I'll rent a horror movie. Maybe I'll rent six horror movies.
I would like to rent all of these movies and also purchase all of these Skittles.
Having a party, eh?
Nope.
Hey, do you think you could load me up?
Thanks. Then I swooped out of there like the Batman and biked home in a blaze of defiant glory. Who knows? Maybe I'll touch a spider. And that's how my depression got so horrible that it actually broke through to the other side and became a sort of fear-proof exoskeleton. Nothing can do anything to me! Depression, Part 2. I remember being endlessly entertained by the adventures of my toys. Some days they died repeated violent deaths. Other days, they traveled to space or discussed my swim lessons and how I absolutely should be allowed in the deep end of the pool, especially since I was such a talented doggy paddler.
I bet you could swim across a whole lake.
You're right, I could. Thanks, Plane. I didn't understand why it was fun for me. It just was. But as I grew older, it became harder and harder to access that expansive, imaginary space that made my toys fun. I remember looking at them and feeling sort of frustrated and confused that things weren't the same. Played out all the same storylines that had been fun before, but the meaning had disappeared. Horse's big space adventure transformed into holding a plastic horse in the air, hoping it would somehow be enjoyable for me. Prehistoric Crazy Beth's death ride was just smashing a toy bus full of dinosaurs into the wall while feeling sort of bored and unfulfilled. I could no longer connect to my toys in a way that allowed me to participate in the experience. The second half of my depression felt almost exactly like that, except about everything. At first, though, the invulnerability that accompanied the detachment was exhilarating. At least as exhilarating as something can be without involving real emotions.
I feel nothing!
The beginning of my depression had been nothing but feelings, so the emotional deadening that followed was a welcome relief. I had always viewed feelings as a weakness, annoying obstacles on my quest for total power over myself. And I finally didn't have to feel them anymore. But my experiences slowly flattened and blended together until it became obvious that there's a huge difference between not giving a fuck and not being able to give a fuck. Cognitively, you might know that different things are happening to you, but they don't feel very different. Sun, birthday, sounds, not sounds, your hair is spiders, everything is spiders, which leads to horrible, soul-decaying boredom. I wonder what today is going to be like. Oh, nothing again. Okay. I tried to get out more, but most fun activities just left me existentially confused or frustrated with my inability to enjoy them. For the past 3 hours, I've been knocking things over with a ball. What's the point? Does it matter? Does anything matter? Months oozed by, and I gradually came to accept that maybe enjoyment was not a thing I got to feel anymore. I didn't want anyone to know, though. I was still sort of uncomfortable about how bored and detached I felt around other people, and I was still holding out hope that the whole thing would spontaneously work itself out. As long as I could manage to not alienate anyone, everything might be okay. However, I could no longer rely on genuine emotion to generate facial expressions, and when you have to spend every social interaction consciously manipulating your face into shapes that are only approximately the right ones, alienating people is inevitable. So I did that triathlon. How do you make the face for yay? Am I doing it? I hope I'm doing it. Yeah, some guy had a heart attack and drowned. Uh-oh. Sad face, sad face! Can you believe that?
I'm doing the wrong face. I'm sure of it. Oh well, everyone noticed.
What are you doing?
Interacting with you?
It's weird for people who still have feelings to be around depressed people. They try to help you have feelings again so things can go back to normal, and it's frustrating for them when that doesn't happen. From their perspective, it seems like there has got to be some untapped source of happiness within you that you've simply lost track of, and if only you could see how beautiful things are.
You should do yoga while watching the sunrise. It's literally impossible to feel negative and sad while appreciating the wonder of the universe.
At first, I'd try to explain that it's not really negativity or sadness anymore. It's more just this detached, meaningless fog where you can't feel anything about anything. Even the things you love, even fun things. And you're horribly bored and lonely, but since you've lost your ability to connect with any of the things that would normally make you feel less bored and lonely, you're stuck in the boring, lonely, meaningless void without anything to distract you from how boring, lonely, and meaningless it is.
Oh, are you trying to get away?
Go see what's over there.
Surprise! It's nothing.
But what's in the hole?
What is it?
What's in there? Is it nothing? But people want to help. So they try harder and harder to make you feel hopeful and positive about the situation. You explain it again, hoping they'll try a less hope-centric approach, but re-explaining your total inability to experience joy inevitably sounds kind of negative, like maybe you want to be depressed. So the positivity starts coming out in a spray. A giant, desperate happiness sprinkler pointed directly at your face. And it keeps going like that until you're having this weird argument where you're trying to convince the person that you are far too hopeless for hope so that they'll give up on their optimism crusade and let you go back to feeling bored and lonely by yourself.
Positivity! Yay! Hope and joy! Hope! Beauty and love!
Are you taunting me? Is this some kind of weird game where you name all the things I can't do? And the most frustrating thing about depression. It isn't always something that you can fight back against with hope. It isn't even something, it's nothing. And you can't combat nothing. You can't fill it up. You can't cover it. It's just there, pulling the meaning out of everything. That being the case, all the hopeful, proactive solutions start to sound completely insane in contrast to the scope of the problem. It'll be like having a bunch of dead fish, but no one around you will acknowledge the fish are dead. Instead, they offer to help you look for the fish or try to help you figure out why they disappeared.
What's wrong?
My fish are dead.
Don't worry, I'll help you find them.
Are there any clues where they went? I know where they are. The problem is they aren't alive anymore.
Let's keep looking. I'm sure they'll turn up somewhere.
No, see, that solution is for a different problem than the one I have. The problem might not even have a solution. But you aren't necessarily looking for solutions. You're maybe just looking for someone to say, sorry about how dead your fish are. Or, wow, those are super dead. I still like you, though.
Fish are always the deadest before the dawn.
Have you tried feeding them?
You used to have so many fish. What happened? What about bees? Do you like bees? We should get together this weekend and make fun little finger puppets out of them.
Why not just make them be alive again?
Why can't anyone see how dead these are?
Started spending more time alone. It's okay, fish. It's gonna be okay. Perhaps it was because I lacked the emotional depth necessary to panic, or maybe my predicament didn't feel dramatic enough to make me suspicious, but I somehow managed to convince myself that everything was still under control right up until I noticed myself, wishing that nothing loved me, so I wouldn't feel obligated to keep existing. Damn, too real.
You are so beautiful. How are you? So beautiful and good.
It's a strange moment when you realize that you don't want to be alive anymore. If I had feelings, I'm sure I would have felt surprised. I have spent the vast majority of my life actively attempting to survive. Ever since my most distant single-celled ancestor squiggled into existence, there has been an unbroken chain of things that wanted to stick around. What are you doing? Stop! No, I am not freeing! Not today! I've got legs, motherfucker!
Sorry, that pale made me laugh.
Yet there I was, casually wishing that I could stop existing in the same way you'd want to leave an empty room or mute an unbearably repetitive noise. That wasn't the worst part, though. The worst part was deciding to keep going. Well, should probably do something. When I say that deciding not to kill myself was the worst part, I should clarify that I don't mean it in a retrospective sense. From where I am now, it seems like a solid enough decision. But at the time, it felt like I had been dragging myself through the most miserable, endless wasteland, and far in the distance, I had seen the promising glimmer of a slightly less miserable wasteland. And for a moment, I thought, maybe I'd be able to stop and rest, but as soon as I arrived at the border of the less miserable wasteland, I found out that I'd have to turn around and walk back the other way. You know what? Fuck it. Let's go walk past more rocks and sand. Why not? Signs it. Oh, fuck you. Soon after, I discovered there's no tactful or comfortable way to inform other people that you might be suicidal. And there's definitely no way to ask for help casually. Knock, knock, joke. Knock, knock. Who's that there? Suicide. Suicide. Who? I want to be dead. Actually, this isn't a knock, knock joke. I have something to tell you. Surprise! Me. No. Too casual. Also might be interpreted as a joke. Yell. Run away. Hey. I might do something bad to myself! Ah! Pros. Don't have to be there for fallout. Comms. Confusing and alarming. Right on face, wait for someone to notice.
Please help, I have lost control of my life.
Maybe, but face, probably not big enough. I didn't want it to be a big deal. However, it's an alarming subject. Trying to be nonchalant about it makes it, just makes it weird for everyone. Hey, guess what? I was also extremely ill-prepared for the position of comforting people. The things that seemed reassuring to me at the time weren't necessarily comforting for others. No, see, I don't necessarily want to kill myself. I just want to become dead somehow. Shh. It's okay. Life is meaningless anyway. I'm really sorry. Can I get you some juice or something? I had so very few feelings, and everyone else had so many, and it felt like they were having all of them in front of me at once. I didn't really know what to do, so I agreed to see a doctor so that everyone would stop having all of their feelings at me. If I go to a doctor, will you stop making that sound? The next few weeks were a haze of talking to relentlessly hopeful people about my feelings that didn't exist so I could be prescribed medication that might help me have them again. Well, it's all up from here! Look, guy, I don't know what it's like in I Still Have Meaning in My Life land, but every direction looks like bullshit right now. And every direction was bullshit for a really long time, especially up. The absurdity of working so hard to continue doing something you don't like can be overwhelming. And the longer it takes to feel different, the more it starts to seem like everything might actually be hopeless bullshit. What if the entire future is full of only horrible, boring things? That would be too many. My feelings did start to return eventually, but not all of them came back, and they didn't arrive symmetrically. I had not been able to care for a very long time, and when I finally started being able to care about things, I hated them. But hatred is technically a feeling, and my brain latched onto it like a child learning a new word. I hate sun! I hate purple! I hate me! Says the brain, throwing things out of the hate bin. Hating everything made all the positivity and hope feel even more unpalatable. The syrupy, oversimplified optimism started to feel almost offensive. I know exactly how you feel. Delicate and vulnerable, like you'll crumble at any moment. But stay strong. It gets better. Thankfully, I rediscovered crying just before I got sick of hating things. I call this emotion crying and not sadness, because that's all it really was, just crying for the sake of crying. My brain had partially learned how to be sad again, but it took the feeling out for a joyride before it learned how to use the brakes or steer. Hey there, is that juice?
Yeah?
Why are you crying?
I don't know, it's just something that's happening.
At some point during this phase, I was crying pointlessly about the kitchen floor. I was crying pointlessly on the kitchen floor. As was common practice during bouts of floor crying, I was staring straight ahead at nothing in particular and feeling sort of weird about myself. Then, through the film of tears and nothingness, I spotted a tiny, shriveled piece of corn under the refrigerator. I don't know why this happened. I don't claim to know why this happened, but when I saw the piece of corn, something snapped inside of me, and then that thing twisted through a few permutations of logic that I don't understand and produced the most confusing bout of uncontrollable, debilitating laughter that I've ever experienced. I had absolutely no idea what was going on. Why did the corn cause this to happen? Eyes accidentally pass over the space underneath the refrigerator. Brain ignores the more relevant things it could be focused on. The more relevant things it could be thinking about instead focuses on tiny, unimportant piece of corn.
Corn.
Something I don't understand occurs. Corn plus floor equals corn? Carry the F, multiply by how low the corn is, perform a twisting maneuver, generate laughter. Laughter happens. It is a surprise. The element of surprise allows the laughter to circle back on itself, creates infinite laughter loop. Stupid tiny piece of corn is now the funniest thing in the universe. Nothing is funnier than a dumb little piece of corn. Oh god, I'm legit laughing. This is just me imitating the cartoon. That's so Christ. Okay. My brain had apparently been storing every unfelt scrap of happiness from the last 19 months, and it impulsively decided to unleash all of it at once in what would appear to be an act of vengeance. You want to be happy? Fine, I'll make you happy to death. That piece of corn is the funniest thing I've ever seen, and I cannot explain to anyone why it's funny. I don't even know why. Someone ever asks me, what was the exact moment where things started to feel slightly less shitty? Instead of telling a nice, heartwarming story about the support of people who loved and believed in me, I'm going to have to tell them about the piece of corn. And then I'm going to have to explain that, no, really, it was funny.
Because, see, the way the corn was sitting on the floor, it was so low, and it was just sitting there. And no matter how I try to explain it, I'll get the same confused look. So maybe I'll try to show them the piece of corn to see if they get it. They won't. Things will get even weirder.
Look how tiny and shriveled it is. It was all by itself. Why aren't you laughing yet? Anyway, I wanted to end this on a hopeful, positive note, but seeing as how my sense of hope and positivity is still shrouded in a thick layer of feeling like hope and positivity are bullshit, I'll just say this. Nobody can guarantee that it's going to be okay. But, and I don't know if this will be comforting to anyone else, the possibility exists that there's a piece of corn on a floor somewhere that will make you just as confused about why you're laughing as you have ever been about why you were depressed. And even if everything still seems like hopeless bullshit, maybe it's just pointless bullshit, or weird bullshit, or possibly not even bullshit. Maybe everything isn't hopeless bullshit. I don't know. But when you're concerned that the miserable, boring wasteland in front of you might stretch all the way into forever, not knowing feels strangely hope-like.